You want to just turn now to Luke chapter 15. We've been there quite a bit. We're going to start in verse 11. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto them his living. Okay. The theme, before we go any further, the theme that I felt the Lord gave for today is in regards to hunger. And once again, this is very much where my heart is at right now, and something that I'm personally really before the Lord. And in that place of being before Him, these are some of the things that He is really ministering to my heart so preciously. And He started to show me by the Holy Spirit, just in the scriptures, some elements within the story of the prodigal son that I hadn't noticed before. And they really were resonating with this theme of hunger. And once again, I'm not coming as a teacher or somebody who understands what I'm saying even, but a seeker and a hungry person who desperately wants to partake of Jesus in a living way. And so, Father, that's our prayer for today, that your spirit would come and break the bread of life, that your words, Lord, they are spirit and they are life. They aren't just teachings. They were never meant to be teachings, Lord. They were meant to be the very being of your Son poured into us in this manner that we could partake of Him and live by the Lamb. Lord, may your word minister exactly as you sent it to do, and not return void, Father, but return in the image of your beautiful and precious Son, just as would please your heart, Lord. We ask this not in our own names or for our own sake, but for your good pleasure, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. And so we look again now at Luke 15, and there's just some things here, like I said, that I'd never noticed before. But the Holy Spirit just landed on it. It was beautiful, beginning to just draw the emphasis of some aspects of this story that I believe are very, very precious to us. So we start in verse 11. A certain man had two sons. Verse 12. And the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto him his living. And so we have this relationship between a father and his son, the prodigal son. And at this stage of the relationship, he's like, I'm hungry to get my inheritance. I have an appetite to gather unto myself the things that are due me. You know, my goods, the portion that falls to me. And so the father divides him his living. Verse 13 continues, then not many days after, the younger son gathered everything together, of course, unto himself. He took this journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, when he had spent everything on himself, this mighty, and notice the word mighty, this mighty famine arose in that land, the very place he was. There's a famine, and in that you see this theme of hunger is beginning to emerge, woven into this parable that Jesus Christ is sharing with us here in these verses. Hunger begins to be something brought forth in the very scriptures here. A mighty hunger, a mighty famine in that land. And so the son began to be in want. And I felt two words emphasized today by the Holy Spirit when he was sharing this verse with me. The word "he began," that it was the beginning of hunger, the beginning of hunger. And that and the second word was the word "be," that it wasn't just like, "Oh, I think I have a hankering for a candy bar. I just have an itch that needs to be scratched, and only, you know, only ice cream will do it." It wasn't that kind of a hunger. It was the beginning of a mighty hunger that was It was affecting his being. It was affecting his being. Not just a desire or a need, a being kind of hunger. He began to be in hunger, not to do or feel hunger. You know, there's a hunger that's like the skin on top of the surface. And then there's a hunger that's in the very aching core of your being, crying out for the living God, you know. This is the hunger that's beginning to be birthed in the prodigal under the mighty hand of God his Father. Hallelujah. And the Father's using things that, you know, maybe we wouldn't even consider lawful to be used, because here he is squandering with harlots, squandering with riotous living, living in a far country in selfishness and, you know, all the things that are so not what should be from the Father's house, if you could say that. And yet, it's in this place and in this realm that the Lord brings a mighty famine upon the very land, this far country land that his prodigal selfish son is in. God lets this mighty famine hit, and the son begins to, in his being, want. And in that beginning phase of hunger during this mighty famine, the prodigal isn't ready to come back to the Father yet. He's not ready for father food, could we put it that way? His hunger hasn't gone deep enough yet to drive him to father food. We don't know what the father food is yet in this story until he gets to that place, but just the concept that there's father food and there's far country food. And right now he's only beginning to be in want. So he joins himself, verse 15, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. So that was the next emphasis I felt the Holy Spirit gave in these verses. That this prodigal son, that he joined himself to someone that was a citizen of that country. And how powerful that was in my heart when the Lord said that, because we are citizens of, ambassadors from above, in Christ, in the Father, in God. You know, we are from above because we've been born from above, born into Christ through the cross. And yet, this son, though he's part of that family, he is joining himself in his hunger to people that are in the far country and citizens of it. You know, citizens of the world and of its ways. And how different their food is. And that citizen of that country that this prodigal joined himself to, he sent him into his fields to feed swine. So yeah, the fields of the citizens of this far country will send you to their fields to feed swine, because down here, this whole world, you know, it lieth in the wicked one. I mean, it's all about feeding self. I mean, you've heard it in this expression, it's a dog-eat-dog world. You know, everybody's trying to get what they can on the back of someone else. They don't care whose head they step on or what they have to do to get what they want, to gather to themselves, to be made greater and better, higher, stronger. You know, this is the way of the world. And to join in hunger to something that is not father food will put you in their orbit. It will draw you into their world system of self. And it will just swallow you up. And in that, the motions of this citizenship down here in this far country from the Father's house, it's all about me. It's all about me. And even when you're trying to get food, but you're not getting it in the right place, joining into the right person, it will end up at the end of the day working someone else's field, and that field is dedicated to just feeding swine, feeding self. The whole thing ends up being just more and more self. And so in verse 16, it says the prodigal would have fain filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. But no man would give it any. No man would give to him. Now here is something amazing. And if the Spirit could just, you know, break the bread of this with us. So the prodigal continues to be in the state of just raw hunger in his being. Just, man, am I empty. I'm starving, not just in a I want a good meal way. I am empty in the core, in the bowels of my being. I'm hungry. So much so that he would even have eaten the husks that he was feeding to the swine in this far country. But the people in that country wouldn't even, no man would even give him a husk from a swine to eat. No man would give him. It says in the verse, no man gave unto him. And herein is a key to this story about hunger. No one gives. No one gives. No one gives. Why? There's no lamb. There's no crucified Christ. There's no nature of selfless giving. There's no altars. There's no fire. There's no cross. It's all self. Swine food. Take what's mine. Gather unto me. Me, me, me. And famine only makes it more so. It exaggerates the self-absorption and gathering and self-preservation. No man gave. Jesus Christ became a man, and he gave himself as a man to the uttermost on a tree that nailed him and crucified him and bruised him and beat him, and he bled out on that pole, giving to all men, even his enemies. This prodigal goes, no man gives down here. No man gives. No man gives his life. No man shares from a spirit of selfless giving. Everything is about me and my hurts, my feelings, my needs, my knowledge of good and evil, my past, my future, my family, my ministry, my wants, my understanding. No man gives. No man gives. No man gives. And that's when he came to himself, verse 17. He came to himself. Good Lord, what am I doing down here with the swine? What am I doing joining myself to a crossless generation, to a Christless community of swine feeding, self-absorbed people who live so very, very far from the Father's house? He came to himself. And he said in verse 17, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare? And I perish with hunger. And I believe in that moment that comment came from the prodigal's heart. He said, my father gives so much. He is so selfless. He is so generous. He is so benevolent that even the servants have more bread than they can eat. But the real commentary here is on the nature of his father as contrasted to the nature of the citizens of this far country. Look at the nature of the father. He just gives. Look at the citizens of this country, won't even give hog husks. He came to himself and he said, I perish with hunger. And this is the point where it really hit. Praise Jesus. This is the point where it really hit. He goes, man, not only am I coming to myself, I am coming to a place where if I don't get the real food, not this swine food, not this crossless food, not this Christless food, not all this food that just always goes back to feeding self. If I don't get the real food,
that only my father has, father food. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. I'm going to die, for I will have no life left in me.
And it's at that point in verse 18 that he says, I will arise and go to my father. I mean, we can quote that sentence out of context and make it mean lots of things. But in the context of this story, he said, I will arise and go to my father from a place of a hunger that had been cultivated through a mighty famine, that had been exaggerated by feeding swine, that had been driven to a certain place of comprehension by the citizens of that generation not feeding him, and even when they had much, but not even giving him swine food. And he's going, listen, I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father. And at that point, you know, he came to himself, and we discussed this last week and many other times. He said, man, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And, you know, he's realizing what he left, even though not fully comprehending it because he hasn't entered in. But that heart turn to the Father. Father, what you have is what I need. And so we're going to skip now down to verse 23, where the Father does run out to him, and that's, you know, many other sharings have emphasized this, and the Spirit may be sharing much beautiful things there with you now, but we know that the Father, of course, mercifully entreats him and enfolds him within himself and draws him and gathers him, and yet, you know, it's a tremendous reunion, but it's only a step of the journey in to the Father's house. But in verse 23, we see the Father doing something very, very specific with his prodigal that's coming back to him. And that is that he's gathering him in to the feast that is in his house. I don't know how else to say that, but if you look in these scriptures, the Father, who is a type and shadow of God, our Father, is gathering this starving prodigal into his house and into the feast that is in his house. And the feast that is in house, in the Father's house, is defined in verse 23, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat. Now these two words I think are very important. Kill it and let us eat. He's not just giving him bread. He is not just saying, I have all this great bread on my table. It's rye bread and wheat bread and cheese bread and, you know, all the breads that you can dream of. I got all the bread that you can imagine. No. Or meat, all different meats. I've got, you know, savory and this and that. But the emphasis is on first it has to be killed and then we eat it. Of course, that's just a natural and common assumption upon any meat that would be consumed. But it's emphasized in the scriptures. He doesn't just say, let's eat the fatted calf. He could have said that and we would have assumed, of course, in preparation, it is slaughtered and prepared. But the verses here, as does all the Old Testament sacrifices and offerings, emphasizes that it must be slain. It must be crucified. It must be given. It must be given before it is eaten, because it's not just bread. It's broken bread. It's not just meat. It's the slain lamb. It's not just Christ. It's Christ crucified. And that's the feast that's in the Father's house. And that's the bread and meat that the Father begins to feed his starving, hungry, perishing, dying with hunger son. He begins to feed him the slain lamb, the crucified son, Christ crucified his son. He begins to fill him with Jesus, this Jesus, the one who was broken on the cross and poured out for us. This is his bread. This is the bread and the meat
that the Father feeds the prodigal. And in so doing, he says, man, you're entering in. You're entering into me. You're entering into eternal life. You're entering in to who I am and who you are, because now you're one. Through the slain Son, we are one. Through this slain Son, that which was once dead is now going to live. Through this meat getting inside of you, this broken bread and poured out wine getting in you, you who were far are now near. You who were dead are now alive. Shall we not rejoice and make merry, says the Father to his elder son? Shall we not rejoice that your son who was dead now has eaten the slain lamb and he's living? You know what I'm saying? Praise God. Well, in John chapter 6, we see this. I see, and I ask you to just consider the same theme, the same heartbeat, starting in verse 27. And now we're in John chapter 6. And this is Jesus dealing with this whole theme of bread and people being hungry and people following him to get a good meal or following him for him. And we all have pored over these verses and just wept over these verses and cried out for these verses to be made known to our hearts. But, today let's just look at them afresh and anew with the Lord. In verse 27 of chapter 6 in John, it says, Jesus says, labor not for the food which perishes, for that food which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath the Father sealed. He is the food that the Father hath sealed. Verse 32 in chapter 6, just skip down a few verses. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father. Here's that Father again. My Father giveth you true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who cometh down from the heavens, gives his life for the world. Verse 35, Jesus said then unto them, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Think of the prodigal. Think of his hunger. Think of what he was trying to feed his empty, gnawing hunger on. Swine food, earth food, self food. But I say unto you, that have seen me and believe me, all the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Look in verse 49. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread that cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat of it and not die. 51. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread which I give is my flesh, which will give life. Jesus answers in 53, verse 53. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. My son was dead, but now he lives. Verse 54. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. I will raise him up on the last day, for my crucified flesh is food indeed, and my poured out blood is drink indeed. I have to read 55 again. For my crucified flesh is food indeed, and my poured out blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me, and I dwell in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which comes down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, but he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Now, people became offended by this. And Jesus says to them in verses 61, 62, does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before with the Father? 63, it's the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But some believe not. And some of them left him
over this issue of eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And Jesus said, you know, this is beyond what you can understand by just hearing a sermon on taking communion or that Jesus is the bread of life. But this is spirit and life is my word. And this bread is the bread that only God the Father can reveal. Only God the Father can take you into his house, open up his cupboards, lay forth this feast, and by revealing in spirit and life his slaughtered lamb, his crucified son, open the floodgate of your heart to drink in the eternal spirit of Christ crucified and be filled with the life of Jesus and be filled with lamb life and live and feel a hunger that nobody and nothing is going to feel that hunger but Christ in him crucified. The Father knows it. When a heart gets to that place where nothing else will satisfy, not even the things of God, he takes them, that heart, into his feast, and he reveals his son in us. And in spirit and life, he lays that table, and he takes every inward part of the sacrifice, the heart, the liver, the mind of Christ, the compassions of Christ, the selfless giving of Christ, every motive and every intent that is the spirit and nature of the Lamb of God, and he begins to divide them out and feed us Christ crucified. Form him in us. Fill us with his spirit. Give us a new heart, a new nature, a new mind. Make us partakers of the family spirit whereby we are no longer prodigal. We are one with Jesus and we are in the Son of his love and we are one. When the Father looks at us, he sees Christ formed in us. He sees a nature and image of the Lamb in our motives and in our actions, in our reactions, in our responses, in our attitudes, in our daily walk. He sees Jesus. My God, what a feast! We feast on the Lamb and the Father feasts on the Lamb in us. And it's a hunger that would not be satisfied with pig food, whether that pig food is just the world and all of its worldliness or Christianity and all of its selfishness that says, I'll give you Christ, but not Christ crucified. I'll give you bread, but not broken bread. I'll talk about life, but not slain life. When all of a sudden you say, this stuff doesn't fill me. The only thing that's going to fill me with the life of Jesus is if I go to the cross and partake of that man who gives. Unlike all the citizens of this world, he gives. And he gives me through his own death. And what he gives me is his slain flesh and his poured out blood. And he says, drink this, eat this, and you'll never hunger again, and you'll never thirst again, and you'll never be far away from the Father again, and you'll never be far from me again, because we'll be one. And we'll be one with the Father, and this will be eternal life, and I'll raise you up on the last day because you are one. Hallelujah! And this never ends. The disciples heard it, said, I'm confused. This is vulgar, this is offensive, it's too hard, it's wrong. You're being selective, you're being a cannibal, you're being exclusive, you're being too hard. Jesus just said, listen, guys, this what I'm saying is spirit and life. I'm not gonna explain it for another 68 verses. Trust me, when you perish with hunger, you'll understand. When you perish with hunger and you open to the Father to reveal his son, his lamb son, you'll understand and you will be filled. Hallelujah. Let's just pray. Lord, we thank you for being the Father of the ages, who has meat that we yet know of, meat that is meat truly that fills and gives life. Father, that it is a meat that can only be given through the cross of your son. And it is a meat that can be partaken of only by those who will come to the cross and eat that one whom the Father giveth as life for the world. Father, may we not despise the goodness and mercy of the Father
the feast that is upon his table, the life that is there. May we not be offended and turn back like those disciples were in John chapter 6. But may we be as those who hunger and press in and are drawn by the Father to know his Son and go beyond knowing to feasting until we are changed and Christ is in us in such a living way that even the Father is blessed with his Son through us. Lord, deal with our hearts. Deal with our hearts. Convict us if we need convicting. Melt us if we need melting. Do whatever you need. Purge us with hyssop if we need purging. Do whatever you need. We just want to come and be with you and eat this feast and know the Lord in this way. So we give ourselves to you, Father. We pray these things in Jesus' name, according to your heart, according to your desires. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.